This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, Father Tom and Anthony, today. I saw an image when I started to walk through this, when I started to walk into this room. And the image was someone had reached the end of their rope, and Jesus had that end, and they didn't have to worry. Someone reached the end of their rope, but Jesus had the end, and that person doesn't need to worry. It's going to turn out. Honest, it's going to turn out. When Jesus shows up, everything happens. I wasn't looking for that today. It just came to me. I saw it, and I know it to be true. He has the end of the rope. It's going to be all right. You don't have to worry, and you don't have to fuss. You've got to do things that you need to do, but you don't have to worry, and you don't have to fuss, because the way that the Lord has for you is perfect. He's done it thousands and thousands and thousands of times, and he'll do it again for you. Just trust him. That's it. Just trust him.
There's some problems that are too big for our mind to solve. They need to be solved through the Spirit of God, Jesus, that lives in you. So you need to just sit back, don't worry, and allow Jesus to give you step-by-step things to do. Maybe you don't think it's going to solve your problem if the Lord commands you to read the Bible or get in the Word. Maybe you say, well, Lord, if I read a chapter of the Word, it's not going to fix anything with this problem that I'm going through. Well, as you're reading, the Lord could give you revelation. As you're reading, Jesus will fill you with the peace that passes all understanding. And all blessings come in a time of peace. If someone or something is trying to take your peace, they are stealing the blessings that God has for you. Trust in the Lord Jesus today, and he will do everything for you. But you can't fight your own battles. We need to allow Jesus to go before us to fight our battles. Today, speaking about battles, we're in Jeremiah, the 12th chapter, verse 1. Righteous are you, O Lord, when I complain to you. Yet I would plead my case before you. Why does the ways of the wicked prosper? Why do all who do treacherous thrive?
Why? Big question. Why? I'm going to tell you. In another part of the Bible, it tells us that their feet are on slippery ground. Their feet are on slippery ground. They might be prospering now, but you know what we're called to do? We're called to even pray for them. To pray for them because they're headed toward hell. Simple as that. And we don't want anyone going to hell. No one, not even our worst enemy. We want no one going to hell. So what do I need to do? I need to lift up these people. Not for a long time. It might just be for a couple of seconds. But to do it. And you'll feel better. And God will bless you. You see, Jesus reconciles enemies to himself. I just happen to be one of the enemies, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Me. I've sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But what did Jesus do? He took the rap. He was nailed to the cross and absorbed all the sin, pain, sickness, death into his body. When I'm lifted up, he says, I will draw all people to myself. You were drawn into the heart of Jesus at Calvary. Yes, you were drawn into his heart. And he's got plans for you. Don't listen to Slewfoot. Slewfoot of the devil, he's a rotten liar. He only knows how to bring torturous things to people. Listen to the word of God. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Listen to God today, not to the lies of the enemy. God has a plan for you in Christ. Oh, he does. And that plan might seem far away, but do what needs to be done. Trust him. Oh, trust him. He's worthy of your trust. He bore your wounds and carried your infirmities. We were on our way to hell, and he took the rap. And you don't need to go to hell, because he took the rap and pours out his forgiveness and Holy Spirit upon you and me. It's wonderful. God does wonderful things. And what does he expect from us? That we just give him our life. That's all. And when we do that, things begin to happen. But no one can do it for me, and no one can do it for you. You have to give him your life. I can't do it for you, and you can't do it for me. But it's got to be done if you want peace. If you want peace.
Peace that passes all understanding. Ecclesiastes tells us the sleep of a laborer is sweet, whether they eat a little or much. But as for the rich, their abundance permits them no sleep. You see, a life lived solely for the love of Jesus Christ, you have the peace that passes all understanding. And when we see people in the world, you know, since Jeremiah, since the Old Testament, why do the wicked prosper and the people of God suffer? It's because God runs, let me explain, God runs perfectly, equally justice and mercy. And when someone who's maybe unrighteous or they're all about their business and they're ruthless and they're doing everything against God, but so that they'll get prosperity, maybe even invoking the devil or invoking the occult to thrive, and we see them thriving. This is why. Because in God's justice, everybody does at least a little good. You know, maybe they built a wing of the hospital so that they could put their name on it. Maybe this person is kind to their own children or kind to their mother, or they donate money to charity to get a tax break. In God's justice, those good deeds demand a reward. But because their spirit is closed to the grace of eternal life, God gives them everything they desire in this world. Because one day they'll be at the throne of God and they'll say, well, God, I did this good thing, this good thing, this good thing. And he said, my son, my daughter, I have given you this reward. I have given you your reward. Your reward is you wanted to build a kingdom for yourself in this world and you received it. But now is the judgment. Now, you know, you'll be going to hell. This is why it's so important that as Christians, we give the gospel to everyone, even the people who we feel are the most far off. And you know what the goodness of God is? Now for those who serve God, you know, and are going to heaven and are the children of God, as I serve God, there's still many sins I still do. There's still many sins and there's still many wrongdoings as I do. So what does God in his love give to me? He doesn't give me abundance. He gives me suffering. So I have the ability to atone for my wrongdoings on this side of heaven, so that I can receive the fire, the purifying fire of God while on this earth, before we're having to receive it in purgatory. Purgatory is part of heaven. We need to be purified before we can enter into the light of God. It's in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 3:10-15. But God gives us the ones he loved crosses on this earth so we can purify it. It's like when someone is refining gold. They're not putting the gold in the fire because they're abusing the gold. They're trying to pull all of the dross out of it. They're trying to pull all of the dross out of it. Now, there are people, you know, that there's so much merit in receiving the suffering with the grace of God. But there are people that suffer their whole life, and at the end, there's no merit in it. Because all of their suffering, all of the justice that God was trying to release and convert into mercy, they took the crosses from God with bitterness and anger and resentment and rebellion, and they were unable to receive what God, the gifts that God was trying to give them, the purification upon this earth. So Lord, as the wicked prosper while they're on this earth, and it seems like the children of God are suffering, we need to see it how God sees it. If there's a cross you've been given, the Lord is purifying you and preparing your soul for the gift of eternal life.
I believe it's Psalm 73 that the psalmist says that the wicked prosper and those who have faith are suffering. And what is the answer? The answer is, the psalmist says, For me, it is good to be with the Lord. He doesn't come out with an answer for suffering. He comes out with an answer for me. It is good to be with the Lord in the presence of God. And I'm going to tell you, when you suffer, everyone suffers. When you suffer in the presence of God, that suffering will be used. You'll be able to help other sufferers. You'll be able to do things that other people can't do. Now, we don't want to pray for suffering.
No.
But we want to know that everyone suffers. Once I was at a service, and this little boy came up to me. Beautiful child. He said to me, in the middle of the service that I was praying for people, I suffer so much. My heart got broken for that child. My heart got broken. This little boy, tormented. The first thing I let happen was I just touched his head with love, and I asked the Lord to deliver him from this agonizing pain and to give him love, that this little child would have received the love of God. Imagine a little kid who comes to be prayed with because he suffered. It's hard enough to be an old man or woman to come to people to be prayed with because we suffer. This is a little boy. But I tell you, there's an answer to suffering. And the answer is the crucified Lord. He bore your wounds and carried your infirmities. The sufferer need not go down in defeat, but the sufferer can be used to bring people to God and bring people to Christ.
It's all purification. God is molding us and shaping us into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. And as we share in his sufferings in love, we begin to share in his glory and power. But we got to just receive everything that's happened to us with love. We may not like it, but we say, Lord, we trust in you and we give it to you. Because whatever purification we're going through, it's going to pass. And the glory that awaits you on the other side of heaven, at minimum, is so great. And it is so wonderful. And the Lord is trying to get us to live from a place of victory. But how can I have victory if I have cancer, you can have victory because you offer it to the Lord. And yes, you proclaim healing over your body. And yes, but whether God heals you in this life or the next life, you love God and you serve him with all of your heart. And it all is being used for the good, for those who love and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is so good. He's right there with you now. The Lord wants to heal and bring victory. First, he wants to heal my heart. Then he wants to heal my emotions. Then he wants to heal my body. Then he wants to heal my mind. For I was saying today when I was driving in that the same mind that's in Jesus Christ is in me. That holy thoughts flow through my mind and flow out of my mouth. That we're commanding our life by the words we speak. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. I command divine healing. I walk in divine health. I walk in power. I walk in freedom. Father, we thank you. I was releasing angels into the church that for glory night tonight. That, Lord, I thank you. The angels are going before me and before Father and preparing the way for everyone who's going to come to glory night. That the Lord Jesus, you're going to heal people spiritually, physically, emotionally. Because, Jesus, you are the healer. When we read the Bible, everywhere you go, Jesus, healing broke out. Revival broke out. Miracles broke out. The kingdom of God came on earth as it is in heaven. And when I have a cross, the Lord is disposing me and purifying me that I can carry more of the kingdom of God within me to release to the people, to set the captives free. We don't need to be captive to anything. God doesn't call us to be captive to our thoughts, to our emotions, to our family, to our God sets us free. Jesus said, I have come so you have life and life abundantly. But that abundant life begins within our soul, a freedom within us, that no matter the circumstances that I'm in, I'm walking in freedom because Jesus Christ lives within me. And the Bible says as your soul prospers, your whole life begins to prosper.
I spoke about Emily last night. My friend Emily sings like an angel. She married a man. They had children. And the man one day said to her, I'm leaving. I'm leaving. And he left. And she's left with these beautiful children, with no money coming in, nothing happening that's good. She reached the dead end street. What did she do? I don't know if it was that day, but eventually what she did, she found the Lord Jesus and said, I've taken the ring off that my husband gave me, and I want you to put a ring on me, because from now on I belong to you. You are my spouse, and I give you my life, and I surrender it to you. That was Emily. She became a great witness of the Lord to so many people, touching people. She was filled with love, Emily. Filled with love. Oh, she had gone through the valley of the shadow of death, but she came out prosperous through the death and resurrection of Jesus. What you're going through now, it might stink, plain English, but I'm telling you this, fertilizer stinks too, but no fertilizer, no great crop. Your suffering can be fertilizer in your heart. Tell the Lord Jesus, my suffering is fertilizer, and I want you to use it. No more than I want. I don't want any more, but use what I have so that I can be compassionate, so that I can pray over people with power, so that I understand what people are going through. You see, when people come to me and talk about their pain, I don't often say it, but I know it. I can understand what they're going through. And I'm going to tell you, more than my mouth, when they're telling me those things, my eyes are focused upon them. And my eyes are caring for them. This is it. Everyone suffers. But what do you do with your suffering? That's the issue. What do you do with your suffering? Jesus said, come to me, and I'll make all things new. Come to me, and I'll do wonders for you. Come to me with your suffering, because I suffered too. I suffered like no other man, woman, or child ever suffered. I took upon myself the death and sins of the world, not of one person, but of the world. I agonized on the cross out of love for you. Put your hand in my hand. I'm going to take you to where I want you to be. That's what it's all about. I want to be where he wants me to be. And things begin to happen.
And they want to happen for you. Malachi 3:15. And now we call the arrogant blessed. Evildoers do not only prosper, but they put God to the test and they escape. There's no escaping. We're accountable, and there's justice for every deed we do, whether a deed of heaven or hell, whether it's in this life or the next. And where our heart is, where our treasure is, our heart will be also. So we want to ask ourselves, am I trying to build a kingdom for myself upon this earth? Or am I building a kingdom for myself in the next life, in Jesus Christ, where the rewards are eternal, where souls go for all of eternity? There's only two places, heaven or hell. And we have the grace to lead people into the kingdom of God. You know, when we have a cross from the Lord, are we fighting God? Are we bitter towards God? When we have something wrong done against us, or do we say, fiat, Lord? Jesus, I'm sharing in this suffering. You were the perfect man, and look at what happened to you. Thank you for what I'm going through. Thank you, because I know it's purifying me. I know it's allowing me to share in your suffering so I can share in your glory. And I place my I love you in this, Lord. Not only will I get through it, but I love you in this, and I call you into this, because I know it's allowing me to die to myself so that I can live for you. It's not always easy to be purified, but on the other side, it is so good to walk in purity. A pure vessel is which God flows through. But how do we become pure? How does the gold become pure? The fire. The fire. The fire. But when that gold bar comes out and it's 100% pure gold, then it was all worth it. The Lord is putting us through the fire so that we can walk out the other side pure for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only so we're able to serve him in this life, but so that in the next life, it will be beyond our wildest imaginations. For eye is not seen, ear is not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man what God
has prepared for those who love him. I tell you, nothing is lost in Jesus. Nothing is lost. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. He's with you. Not only is he with you, he's like Simon of Cyrene. He's carrying the cross with you. You have someone who's carrying the cross with you. Someone who bore your wounds and carried your infirmities. Someone who understands you, though not any or many people do. Someone who will never say, I told you so. Oh, he would never say that. I told you so. One day, when I was going through a difficult time, I was in the presence of a person, and guess what he said? I told you so. It was the last thing I needed to hear. Last thing. It was like putting vinegar on a wound. Never, ever, ever say a thing like that to a sufferer. Be with that person. Let your eyes show compassion. Put your hand on their head and pray for them. Suffering need never destroy you. It will become a glorified wound to touch other people who suffer.
Amen. So we did a show on suffering. Now we're going into the glory. Father, tell everyone where you're going to be tonight and who's invited.
Tonight is Wednesday. We'll have Mass at 6:05. Then we do the great prayer meeting at 7 o'clock. You're welcome to come. You see, where God is, I want to be. That's just the way it is. Where God is, I want to be. And I want to tell you, He's not on every place the same way. But He is where people expect Him to come. Where people come, two or three, gathered in His name, things begin to happen. I won't tell you, things begin to happen on a Wednesday night. Things they will never even know about. But God doing it in the secret places of their hearts. We need to be together. That is something that we need. The world hates Jesus. The world hates Jesus. We live in an unchristian world, a pagan world even. We need to make sure that in the midst of a pagan world, I'm filled with the presence of God. That means I've got to be where the presence of God is. I've got to experience where the presence of God is. The Lord loves you, and the Lord has plans for you. God bless you.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. In Season and Out of Season.